today's tips for tomorrow's music teachers. Number one, treating students as individuals and people. Students are individuals with individual needs, concerns, and methods of processing information. A well-informed and effective teacher discovers various ways to convey information that will be best understood by each student. Although it will take more time and effort by the instructor to nurture and cultivate individualism and to personalize the content of his or her material, it will, however, provide a more positive educational experience for the student. During the teaching process, students will make a better effort in class if the teacher conveys a sense of genuine concern for his or her students' educational development. Students that are treated as people and not as anonymous numbers tend to respond more favorably to the educational climate of the classroom or ensemble. It is essential, however, that the instructor learn the names of his or her students as soon as possible because doing so validates their individuality. Number two, being open with students. Many students find a teacher's willingness to be open and candid refreshing and stimulating. Teachers are sometimes surprised by the fact that being open and non-judgmental with students will stimulate on their part free expression and, overall, a warm personal response. However, every class needs rules and limits established up front. Otherwise, problems can ensue if there is no structure to counterbalance the freedom of expression that might become excessive. Number three, being, above all, fair-minded. A teacher should treat his or her students in a fair-minded manner. Being tough with students at the expense of being fair with them may backfire and might possibly alienate a student and deprive that person and the teacher of a mutually beneficial educational experience. Education is a two-way street that produces more effective results when the student and the teacher respect and trust each other. It is acceptable to agree to disagree, provided the participants are clear about the rules. Number four, admitting mistakes. Students appreciate honesty and integrity above all other things. An instructor who has the confidence, maturity, and security to acknowledge an error and to apologize for it will earn the student's respect. People who pretend they are infallible only diminish themselves when proven otherwise. One must remember that being human with all its imperfections is still an admirable thing to be. Number five, setting appropriate boundaries. Some teachers mistake student-teacher relationships for personal relationships. In these circumstances, the teacher is confusing the student by not setting boundaries in their relationship. When this happens, teachers inadvertently relinquish classroom control in an untimely, awkward manner because the personal relationship interferes with the classroom relationship between the teacher and student. Being professional and establishing clear guidelines for oneself and the students is the wise thing to do. Number six, encouraging classroom discussion. The teacher should create a progressive educational environment that fosters creativity and the open and free exchange of ideas by encouraging class discussion. In most circumstances, students want to share their ideas with others, but are often too insecure to contribute at the risk of being embarrassed. An effective teacher leads by example using humor, creativity, understanding, compassion, energy, and insight to stimulate class discussion and to eradicate a repressive and stagnant class environment that can be detrimental to the educational experience. Simply stated, most students take their cue from their teacher. The most effective teaching method any instructor can employ is a consistent methodology that accurately reflects his or her intent. When the instructor leads by example, he or she makes the most profound statement in terms of his or her teaching approach and demeanor. Participation is paramount, so help students tune in before they tune out. Number seven, being creative. Creativity in the classroom is contagious. Therefore, a teacher should use his or her creative talents to stimulate learning. Students respond favorably to creative methods of teaching. A teacher may captivate while he or she motivates, challenging students in a creative classroom environment. A teacher should remember that he or she is limited only by his or her imagination. One should be bold enough to devise new ways of presenting information. Number 8, giving students leadership responsibilities. Accept this premise. Certain students thrive on responsibility. Moreover, these conscientious and motivated students excel in leadership roles and are a source of inspiration and pride to their peers. Teachers that effectively access the leadership qualities of their students will develop a more effective and stimulating organization or classroom and will inspire more students to challenge themselves because of their positive role models. Therefore, help the leaders of tomorrow by enabling them to demonstrate and develop their leadership qualities in an educational environment that nurtures and encourages these talents. Number 9, motivating. A teacher that successfully motivates his or her students to work hard and to excel produces students with positive self-esteem and confidence in themselves and their abilities. Most students want to take pride in their work and generally respond favorably when they are challenged. A teacher should remember that students are truly motivated when hard work yields positive results. Number 10, being energetic and enthusiastic. A teacher's energy and enthusiasm will invariably enhance the educational experience. A teacher that possesses enthusiasm for teaching and conveys it in a positive manner with conviction and energy creates a compelling bond between himself and his or her students. Enthusiasm and energy are contagious and, when applied to a classroom environment, can captivate and motivate a reluctant student. A teacher should energize students with his or her enthusiasm. They will become inspired by their teacher's example. Number 11, capitalizing on one's student's interest and enthusiasm. Communicating course content to an entire classroom can sometimes prove frustrating. Even the most skilled instructor can begin to second-guess himself or herself and wonder whether the students are really interested in what he or she is saying. Is there a magic formula that will involve everyone in the learning process at all times? Firstly, it is fairly predictable that any student's interest and focus will wax and wane periodically for any number of reasons during a class, reasons that may have very little to do with the instructor's presentation or delivery. However, if the teacher is concerned that a negative pattern involving class lethargy or boredom is becoming a problem, something should be done quickly before this situation becomes a regular occurrence. One surefire method for correcting this pattern involves harnessing the interest, enthusiasm, and energy of one or more students that clearly are active participants in the class. In essence, the designated student will function as a catalyst to inspire and challenge his or her peers to also participate in the class. The teacher should remember that enthusiasm is contagious and can be utilized to great effect. The only complicating factor that one must be aware of when using this process is not to inadvertently intimidate or alienate the other class members. In this circumstance, the other class members may always rely on one or two individuals to assume the responsibility for the entire class. In order to circumvent this potential problem, the instructor might consider addressing his or her students by name and ask them to follow up on any classroom discussion. Confrontation, handled carefully, may be the only alternative if students fail to initiate any opinions. Number 12. One, better than none. Having one student that wants to learn is better than none. Preparing one piece of music well is better than none. Serving on one service committee is better than none. Helping one student with his or her studies is better than none. Assisting one colleague is better than none. Implementing one positive change is better than none. Attending one conference, seminar, or workshop is better than none. Recruiting one student is better than none. Listening to one piece of music is better than none. Speaking to one musical or financial volunteer is better than none. Applying for one grant is better than none. Learning one new technique, concept, or skill is better than none. Demonstrating one technique or skill is better than none. Communicating with one person is better than none. Number 13, being clear, concise, and consistent. At all times, it is essential that a teacher be clear, concise, and, above all, consistent with his or her students. When a teacher conveys material in a clear and concise manner, students will better comprehend the presentation and gain greater educational insights as the result of the instructor's clarity. Consistency is imperative at all times because students are more comfortable when they trust their teacher and know he or she will be fair-minded and will treat all students on a professional basis. Consistency counts, and it must never be compromised. Number 14, conveying goals and objectives clearly. Students function more comfortably when course goals and objectives are stated clearly. A well-designed, comprehensive syllabus is helpful to most students because it enables them to accurately assess course requirements within a specific time frame. When the goals and objectives of a course are articulated precisely early in the semester, the instructor will avoid uncomfortable misunderstandings that might otherwise arise later. Number 15, organizing effectively. The ability to organize one's thoughts, materials, and responsibilities will enable him or her to be a more effective and productive educator. Individuals that exhibit strong organizational skills are an asset to their students, colleagues, and institution. Special classes are available to improve one's organizational skills. Teachers should consult business departments at colleges and universities to obtain information regarding when and if this type of class is offered. Number 16, managing one's time. A music teacher's career consists of numerous commitments, all of which take a considerable amount of time. By the time a person factors in meetings, office hours, tutorials, classroom preparations, reading, grading, correspondence, and finally teaching, very little, if any, time remains for personal matters. Moreover, most music teachers pursue a career as a performer, composer, etc., concurrent with their teaching responsibilities. Because of this time-consuming enterprise, which monopolizes most or all of the day and night, music teachers need to prioritize their commitments and maximize their time in order to fulfill all of their responsibilities. Time management skills are a necessity for all musicians and should be developed and utilized to assist the educator in dealing with his or her demanding schedule on a regular basis. Number 17, practicing one's lectures before class. Teachers that are able to present their material in a natural and genuine manner are generally able to avoid sounding stiff and artificial in class. Moreover, material that is conveyed with energy, enthusiasm, and conviction is rarely boring to the audience or contrived. Practicing presentations before a class period enables a teacher to evaluate more critically the pacing and delivery of the material and provides additional time to review the content. Recording the lectures in audio or video format and studying them with the intention of presenting a more cogent and concise presentation is a beneficial educational experience and well worth the investment of one's time. Number 18, preparing and distributing handouts. Preparing supplemental materials which help to reinforce the presentation topic will be beneficial to students. Handouts are very conducive to the learning process and are accessible. Students can refer to the handout intermittently as a means of clarification and reinforcement. Handouts are helpful in providing students with an additional source and means of processing and retaining information. Number 19, giving a pop quiz keeps everyone involved. If a teacher is having problems with students showing up for class, he or she may ask himself or herself, "Is there anything that I can do to solve this problem?" Yes. There most definitely are several approaches one can take to eradicate this problem. Firstly, a teacher should state in the course syllabus that class attendance accounts for a certain percentage of the final grade. If a student misses a specified number of classes, his or her grade will be reduced commensurately. If this method fails to inspire the student to attend class, I have discovered another method that works effectively. Fact: most students are very concerned about their test grades. How well they do or do not perform on a test or quiz can initiate the desired change in behavior. I have found that giving an unannounced pop quiz, which covers classroom discussion, to be an effective means of ensuring classroom attendance. Students are never 100% certain that a quiz will not be given during any class period. Therefore, if a student's erratic class attendance is not improved via the imposed penalty stated in the syllabus, the teacher should try giving intermittent, unscheduled pop quizzes. Students' preoccupation with their test grades may provide the necessary stimulus to solving this frustrating and disruptive dilemma for all concerned. Number 20. Regulating a controlled classroom environment. Rules are essential to the well-being of any classroom environment. Any number of problems may arise if there are no clearly articulated rules which clearly defines policy. Students need freedom and structure. Therefore, a teacher should not hesitate to set boundaries that must be observed by everyone. Number 21, making field or road trips productive. When an ensemble or classroom goes on a trip or brief outing, the teacher should try to make this an enjoyable educational experience for everyone. It is essential for the instructor to communicate the objective or intention of the trip to his or her students and to organize the itinerary of the travel schedule. Once the goals and timeline have been established, the students should know what is expected from them and what to expect during the trip. It is, however, especially important to establish rules that reinforce acceptable behavioral guidelines that must be followed. If these parameters are not clearly outlined, an otherwise positive educational experience can prove disastrous and ultimately frustrating for the teacher and students. Number 22, comprehending and understanding, key elements in the learning process. A teacher will want to reinforce the concept that comprehension and understanding are goals worth pursuing and that getting good grades is a byproduct of the learning experience, a process that will increase the information base while it also enriches one's life for all times. Number 23, consulting colleagues for additional I&I, input and insight. Colleagues can often provide a fresh perspective on matters that impact one's teaching. Asking an associate for his or her input and insightful commentary can be illuminating to a teacher and his or her students. A person should remember that well-intentioned input yields insight that is generally helpful rather than counterproductive. Number 24, observing others teach. If an instructor wants to learn how to teach and communicate more effectively, he or she should watch another good teacher at work. Observing a skilled teacher communicate his or her craft in a classroom or rehearsal situation can be illuminating and inspirational. An experienced teacher possesses many skills and techniques that can be useful to him or her throughout his or her career. Watching a master at work enables the instructor to gain information as well as ideas that can lead to an improvement of his or her own teaching skills. In addition, one may follow up an observation with questions concerning certain techniques employed and concepts presented to the class by the teacher being observed. Number 25, establishing additional office time to provide assistance to one's students. In many circumstances, students need additional assistance with their classroom assignments. Teachers that regularly schedule supplemental office hours to assist students with their homework are a part of the solution, not the problems that confront our educational system. Time provided for students outside the classroom is a valuable resource. Therefore, a teacher should take the time to make a difference. Number 26, communicating as preventative medicine. The moment a teacher thinks everything is under control is the time he or she invariably encounters all sorts of problems. For instance, someone is angry about something someone said, another student feels disenfranchised from the ensemble, or a colleague is upset about departmental policy that directly or indirectly affects the teacher who had thought everything was under control. Regardless of the problem, any scenario that causes conflict can make the instructor's job more difficult. Regularly scheduled meetings with students and faculty where open and frank dialogue is encouraged should help to circumvent potential areas of conflict. The key to preventing or solving problems is communication. Number 27, maintaining emotional equilibrium in moments of anger and frustration. Although it might seem convenient and acceptable to vent one's anger or frustration toward someone else, it is neither appropriate nor professional to do so. All healthy relationships are based upon mutual trust, honesty, and consideration. If a situation arises that warrants frank discussion between two or more parties, the conversation should be conducted in a straightforward, positive, and constructive manner. Confrontation should be handled discreetly, considerately, and diplomatically. If an instructor finds himself or herself becoming frustrated or losing control of his or her emotions, he or she should step back from the situation and think things through calmly and rationally before saying anything to the persons involved. A carefully measured response will enable one to remain in control of the situation, keep things in the proper perspective, and preserve professional relationships that require respect and understanding. Number 28, teaching, coping with all new challenges. If one were to ask 100 educators what teaching means to them, that person would receive many different answers. One answer would be that teaching presents new challenges on a daily, weekly, and yearly basis. For the educational well-being of all students, teachers must meet and cope with these personal challenges confidently, cooperatively, and consistently. A teacher should be able to accept, cope with, and persevere in terms of each challenge that confronts him or her. It is an invigorating experience that defines this distinguished fraternity of individuals. Number 29, volunteering for special assignments. A conscientious teacher does not wait to be assigned a project. Instead, he or she takes the initiative and volunteers for work that needs to be done. Volunteering for special work assignments may prove to be a valuable learning experience, leading to the acquisition of new information and more effective ways to communicate with colleagues and students. Furthermore, one may meet new people with a different point of view. In addition, colleagues generally appreciate associates that are willing to contribute their fair share, as well as their special talents, to departmental matters. Number 30, accepting difficult assignments with a positive attitude. When you are given a difficult or frustrating assignment, it should be done with a pleasant demeanor. Throughout the course of everyday events within any music department, there will invariably be jobs that must be done which are onerous at best. Every teacher will be called upon from time to time to perform a task which is done for the benefit of the entire department, for the good of the order. When it is your turn to complete such a task, accomplish the chore efficiently and with a good attitude. Being a team member benefits the entire faculty, and functioning selflessly in this capacity is the hallmark of a professional. Number 31, defining one's musical design. An instructor should define, articulate, and clarify his or her musical or visual creation or intention on paper to enhance and solidify his or her understanding of the musical objectives he or she has chosen. Committing these thoughts to paper in essay or outline format will provide the students with an alternate means of evaluating, assessing, and defining the music and method of creation. Number 32, using computer-based technological innovations in one's teaching. MIDI, or Musical Instrument Digital Interface, is a manifestation of new technological innovations in music. This computer-derived system has created seemingly endless modes of expression for performers, arranger-composers, and teachers. Interfacing computer equipment with MIDI-compatible sound units and software packages has greatly expanded the parameters of musical expression and educational instruction. A teacher should investigate the ways in which he or she can effectively utilize this and other contemporary computer-based technologies to expand and enhance his or her teaching methods. Number 33, listening, watching, and learning. The contemporary music student responds favorably to oral and visual stimulation. The visual component has become integrated into the mainstream of our culture via television, movies, computer-generated graphics, etc. Therefore, the teacher should use videos and other visual aids in conjunction with audio examples to enhance and augment the learning experience for his or her students whenever possible. Listening and observing as the comprehensive educational experience unfolds. Number 34, devising mental games to memorize musical material. A teacher that challenges students with intellectually stimulating games helps them to better retain and memorize important musical facts and concepts. In order for this to be effective and interesting, one must be clever and creative when devising games of mental acuity. Suggestions for your mental gymnastics include the following: reciting scale mode connecting exercises, verbally articulating the immediate and intermittent shifts in ascending and descending order between various scales or modes, listing all the available chord extensions in altered or unaltered forms with a specific root from the primary chord categories, major, minor, dominant, augmented, diminished, and half diminished, within a certain time allotment, and reciting the note names and rhythms at any place in a specific composition the student is currently studying. Games that require mental agility are not only entertaining and refreshing, but they also stimulate the student's desire for knowledge and for retaining and applying that information. Number 35, scheduling weekly or bi-weekly sectional rehearsals. Without exception, every ensemble benefits from productive and frequent sectional rehearsals. The instructor should create an environment wherein he or she or an assistant is available on a weekly to bi-weekly basis to direct sectional rehearsals. This process will refine the sound and technical capabilities of individual sections and also contribute to an improved large ensemble sound. In addition, sections within the ensemble that meet regularly for sectional rehearsals will develop an increased sense of inner pride. The instructor should challenge his or her members to give 100% of their time and talents to an organization that will bring them the most musically rewarding ensemble experience they are collectively capable of producing. Number 36, marking the parts. One of the most productive ways to prepare music is to learn how to mark the parts. Marking parts requires highlighting various aspects of the music, meter shifts, crescendos, decrescendos, dynamics, tempo markings, etc., that shape and define the overall design of the composition. The visual articulation of these musical parameters will help students do a better job of preparing and interpreting music. No one should ever mark in ink or use a permanent marker on an original part, since doing so would deface the printed music. Number 37, replacing irresponsible members of an ensemble. During a semester, certain members of an ensemble may be habitually late or erratic in their attendance. What does the ensemble director do in this situation? Firstly, I would recommend speaking with the individual to discern what is causing the attendance problem. If the absence and/or tardiness continues, the director must decide what the next logical step is. As difficult and awkward as it may appear, replacing the individual may be in the best interest of the ensemble and the student. An ensemble needs to operate with 100% efficiency. This cooperation requires nothing less than total commitment from all ensemble members. If there are any individuals that are unwilling or unable to make that commitment, perhaps a substitution or replacement is in order. Furthermore, if a personal conflict between members of an ensemble occurs and cannot be resolved, group morale can suffer, a situation which can erode the overall musical effectiveness of the band. Should the entire ensemble suffer because of one or two individuals? I think not. The adjustment should be made. Perhaps one positive aspect on behalf of the student resulting from the experience will be that he or she will come to a greater understanding of what is involved in becoming a significant contributor to a musical ensemble. Number 38, attending conferences, seminars, and workshops. Conferences, seminars, and workshops are designed to provide teachers with important information germane to their area of interest. The amount of materials and information presented and discussed as presented by clinicians and specialists is condensed into a relatively brief period of time. In most instances, the presentations are outstanding and beneficial to most of the participants. Therefore, teachers should confer with their department chair regarding the feasibility of attending a conference, seminar, or workshop when the situation presents itself. Number 39, updating teaching materials. In order to stay current with musical trends and contemporary innovations, teachers will find it imperative to update their materials regularly. By doing so, they will better prepare their students for a successful career in the world of contemporary music. The key to this concept is up to date, not out of date. Number 40, being receptive to student and administrative evaluations. Evaluations from students and superiors can provide a teacher with information that can improve his or her teaching. An honest assessment of one's teaching skills and effectiveness in the classroom can be illuminating, provided that person is receptive to the suggestions. Most talented educators welcome input from their students and superiors because oftentimes these individuals disclose information that is insightful and helpful in an honest and straightforward manner. A person should assess the merit and intent of the evaluation before implementing numerous changes. In many instances, however, people are refreshingly candid and optimistically constructive in their responses and criticisms. If an instructor can accept constructive criticism with an open mind, it is possible to derive great benefits from this valuable educational experience. Teaching has many personal rewards, and those individuals that pursue this vocation do so because they believe in the importance of education and its impact upon an individual's life. A teacher, much like a parent or other family member, can provide proper guidance and direction for his or her students that hopefully will prove beneficial throughout that person's life. Because of the short and long-term implications regarding the teacher-student relationship, conscientious teachers shape the entire person, not just one aspect of the student. In the field of music and perhaps in the arts in general, teachers philosophize and motivate, as well as instruct, their students in the appropriate area of study, music, drama, art, writing, etc. Considering the demands and expectations placed upon teachers in contemporary society, it is often difficult to assess where a teacher's obligations or responsibilities to a student begins or ends. Students need teachers that are committed to assisting them now and throughout their careers. After a student acquires the necessary information and skills from his or her teacher, I believe the teacher assumes a mentor relationship with a student as his or her career progresses. Because of this lifelong educational commitment, which undergoes a transformation throughout the course of time and events, teachers must be prepared to provide the best possible instruction and guidance for their students. Hopefully, today's tips for tomorrow's music teachers will provide new insights into the demanding and ever-changing field of music education and the responsibilities of contemporary music educators to their students, colleagues, and institutions.